Good morning. I'll be reading from the NIV version, Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates.
During the month of June, we're focusing on Adventist education here at Sunnyside. If you were here last week, you know that we showed a 10-minute DVD on something called Cognitive Genesis, which is a study that's being done at La Sierra University. It's not complete, but they released the first set of findings, and it was about comparing across the nation the scholastic results of kids who were in Adventist education versus kids in public school. So if you were here last week, you saw that DVD. Next week, we're going to show another DVD about the value of Adventist teachers and the contribution they make. But today, I want to speak myself, and I want to talk to you about why I send my boys to Fresno Adventist Academy, why I send them to FAA, why we choose to send our boys to a Seventh-day Adventist school. We're doing this really for two reasons. First of all, because we as a congregation support SDA education and Fresno Adventist Academy in particular. We send a lot of money to that school. Of our three highest expenses here at Sunnyside, our biggest expense is salaries, our second biggest expense is rent, and then just behind that is what we call the subsidy, which is the money we send on a monthly basis over to FAA. That subsidy is just shy of 20% of our budget. And this coming school year, it's going to be about $42,000 that we're going to send over to FAA every month. So financially, there's a lot of support. But there's also a lot of people in the congregation who put in time over there, a lot of energy over there. So there's a lot invested in there. And why do we do that? We need to talk about that. The other reason that I'm doing this is because, quite frankly, the value that's placed on Adventist education is declining in our denomination. It's just not as important to a lot of people as it used to be. It used to be that most Seventh-day Adventist kids went to a Seventh-day Adventist school, and that's just simply no longer the case. And so I think that, at least in some people's minds, there's not clarity as to why an Adventist education is important. That's not clear anymore. So I really want to make a case this morning for why Adventist education is important, why it's important that we as a church support it and continue to do so, and why it's an important value as a parent to at least consider when you're making an educational choice for your child. Now, there are a couple things I want to make clear at the outset. The first thing is this. Adventist education is not the right choice for every single child, okay? There are certainly kids for whom being in an Adventist school is not the best place for them to be. And it could be for all kinds of reasons. It could be because they have special education needs. It could be because most of the time, Adventist schools have very small classes. Sometimes the dynamic in a class is such that it's a really toxic situation for a particular child, maybe the way they're treated by their peers, and they need to get into an environment where they have more opportunities to make friends. Okay, finances always weighs into it. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why Adventist education may not be the right choice for every single child. So I just want to make that clear. And so for that reason, no child and no parent should be judged for not sending their child to an Adventist school. Because the decision-making that goes into where am I going to send my child to school is a complex one. And none of us can just look at another person and say, it's just obvious that they're wrong for not sending their kid to an Adventist school. Okay, we simply don't know. So it's not our position to judge someone who chooses not to send their child to an SDA school. But that being said, Diane and I do choose to send our boys to Fresno Adventist Academy. For us, clearly, it is the best place for them to be. And so this morning, I simply want to tell you why we choose to send our boys to FAA. And I want to begin with a question that I posed in church several months ago. And the question is this: what is it that you most want your child to be? What is it that you most want your child to be? Smart? Successful? Healthy? Good? Which one, if you're a parent, which one do you most want your child to be? This is a question that a lot of parents have difficulty answering. First of all, because obviously you want all of those for your kids, okay? But if you have to prioritize, if you have to say, this one is number one on my list, which one would you choose? And see, for me, it's very clear what I want most for my boys if I have to pick one of those four. I know what I want most, and that is that I want my boys to be good. And when I say good, I'm not talking about goody two-shoes kind of good, okay, the nauseating kind of good, the kind of good that makes everyone despise you, the good that does absolutely no good. All right, that's not the good I'm talking about. When I say I want my boys to be good, what I mean is I want them to have good attitudes, I want them to have good character. I want them to be kind, I want them to be honest, I want them to have, I want them to be positive influences on the people around them, I want them to make good ethical choices. That's the kind of good that I most want for my kids over anything else. I'd rather have that than for them to be smart, successful, or healthy, even though, of course, I want those too. And so if I have to choose what I most prefer for my boys, I will take good character over good grades. Okay? That's my decision. That's the way I look at it. If I have to choose for my boys, I would rather that they be a good Christian than a good doctor. Right? That's more important to me. And see, the making of a good person is extremely difficult. In fact, there's no precise formula for how you make a good person, how you develop good character, how you develop good attitudes in people. It's not an easy thing to accomplish. See, it is far easier to make a good surgeon than it is to make a good person. I mean, if you want to make a good doctor, you know, you begin with a certain kind of education, and you follow that up with certain kind of experience. That doesn't mean it's easy. But we have an idea about how you go about making a good doctor. And the truth is, we have a lot of good doctors and we have a lot of good surgeons. What we don't have in our lives are enough good people. We need a lot more of that. So it's very hard to produce a good young person. It's very hard to produce people, young people, who know how to control themselves, who know how to think about others and not just themselves, who, when they're making decisions, ask what's right before they ask what do I like or what's easy. And so it's not an automatic process. We can't just assume that our kids are going to grow up to be good, that it's just something they kind of evolve into, because it's not. It requires some very intentional action on the part of people who are raising kids for them to be good kids. It always cracks me up when I hear someone say in this kind of a romantic way, I've never met a bad kid. Never met a bad kid. These people clearly have never worked with kids or never raised kids if they've never met a bad kid. You know, are kids just naturally kind and polite and, not narcissistic? I mean, on rare occasion, maybe. But no, most of the time they're just not naturally that way. And if you don't believe that, just go to Camp Lawona this summer and observe, okay? Just spend a week up there. Let me ask you a question. Let's say on the way home today you drive by a school and you see that that school has been vandalized. You see the windows are broken, graffiti is spray painted on the walls. It's in a bad state. It's been vandalized. How many of you, upon seeing that, would assume that must have been done by a group of senior citizens? No. What do you assume? It was done by a bunch of kids, precisely for the good reason that that's who did it. Okay, it's very hard to produce good people, and they're just not naturally that way. It requires intentional effort. And so that is why the values that we teach our young people are so important. The values we teach are so important that they have to be taught that there is a difference between good and evil, between right and wrong. And they have to be taught that they are not the center of the universe, and that the universe exists because of a loving creator who cares about the way they live. These are just crucial values that have to be taught. Our text this morning is Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. It says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." That's a value statement. That's a statement about how you live. And now listen to what comes next. "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today." He doesn't say, you know what, these are a good idea, and when you get around to it, you might want to talk about these commands, these values. No, he says, you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to them. Goes on to say, repeat them again and again to your children. Not monthly, not weekly, again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, when you are getting up. In other words, all the time. Not just at worship time, not just in Bible class, all the time. You talk about these things. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. These are instructions for the Israelites who are about to go into the promised land. And God says, these are the commands, these are the values, and you cannot afford to be anything less than wholeheartedly committed to them. And you have to repeat them to your children over and over and over again. You can't be slack about it. He wants these things ingrained in our minds. And see, what makes Adventist schools special is precisely because we can teach these values over and over throughout the day, whether explicitly or implicitly, they can be part of the curriculum throughout the entire day. You can teach a young person over and over that there is such thing as good and evil. You can teach them that there is objective good and bad, right and wrong. It's not just what you think is right and wrong or what this person thinks is right and wrong. There's what God says is right and wrong. You can teach them that. That there is a God who cares about you, and there's a God who created this universe, and there's a God who cares about the way you live. We can teach these and ingrain these into our mind, just like what Deuteronomy says. And you can't do that in a public school. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to teach values there. And I've heard this from public school teachers who say, as soon as you bring up the issue of values, that's immediately followed by the question of, well, whose values? If we're going to teach values, whose values are we going to teach? Are we going to teach Christian values? Are we going to teach Muslim values? Are we going to teach Jewish values? Are we going to teach secular values? Whose values are we going to teach? And that effectively ends the discussion right there, because you can't choose which set of values you're going to teach in a public school. It's just simply not set up that way. And so as a result, the public schools become basically value neutral or value free, because they're not allowed to teach these things. And so a parent has to ask, is that the environment I want my child in? And so for me, the answer is clearly no, that's not the environment I want for my kid. And this is not about me having any kind of vendetta against public schools. Okay, I have nothing against, personally against, public schools. I mean, there are many wonderful people who have been educated in the public school system. My wife, for one, kindergarten through college. She went to public schools, and she's a better person than me. All right? My dad was educated in public schools. A lot of people who I really admire went to public schools. And, you know, there are a lot of great teachers in public schools, too. I mean, going back to my dad taught in public school a majority of his teaching career. That's where he spent his time. And I absolutely believe that God calls teachers to teach in public school. So I'm not saying it's a godless environment. I'm not saying it's a bad place. But we have to understand what's allowed in one environment and what's not allowed in another. And the thing is, just because you send your child to an Adventist school is no guarantee. It's not a guarantee that they're going to turn out to be a great person. I mean, we all know that. There is no guarantee. I mean, it's just like when they say seatbelts save lives. Okay, it doesn't mean that seatbelts save all lives. It's very possible to not wear your seatbelt, be in an accident, and survive. And it's also very possible to be in an accident, wear your seatbelt, and die. So it's not a statement that everyone who wears a seatbelt is going to live and everyone who doesn't is going to die, but it's a generalization that, generally speaking, wearing your seatbelt is better than not. And in the same way, Adventist education doesn't guarantee your child's going to turn out to be great. There's no guarantee. But they will be immersed in good values and good beliefs. And what that does is it increases the odds of what your kid's going to turn out to be. So it's not about guarantees, it's about increasing the odds, about increasing the likelihood. That's what it's about. How can I increase the odds? And so that's why I send my boys to FAA. I'm trying to increase the odds that they're going to turn out to be a good person. It's not about increasing the odds that they're going to get accepted into some elite school when they get older. It's not about increasing the odds that they're going to get some kind of a full ride sports or academic scholarship later on. That would be nice, but that's not the odds I'm trying to increase. FAA, in my opinion, increases the odds of them becoming good people and good Christians, and that's what's most important to me. And by the way, I don't buy into this idea that if you send your kids to an Adventist school, you're accepting the fact that they're going to get an inferior education. I don't buy that. If you were here last week, you saw the DVD of the Cognitive Genesis study that showed that, in fact, on a nationwide basis, kids from Adventist schools tested out better than the kids from public schools. You know, that's using a very large sample. And just speaking personally, I myself am a product of Adventist education, first grade all the way through college. And upon graduation, I got a job with Hewlett-Packard, a top Fortune 50 company. And, you know, this is not to brag, but it's simply to say that when I got into my job, I was working elbow to elbow with people from Stanford and Berkeley and Princeton and Dartmouth. And, you know, I was their peer. In no way did my Adventist education, whether it was at Sierra View Junior Academy, College View Academy, or Union College, somewhere in the middle of Nebraska that no one ever heard of, somehow that didn't hinder me in life. That didn't make me less of a person. Didn't keep me from getting a job, and it didn't make me less competent when I got into a job. And I'll tell you, I have a lot of friends from college who have gone on to be very successful people. You know, doctors and lawyers and accountants and all that. I have friends who I went to college with who went into master's programs, MBA, at some of the top MBA schools in the country, Harvard, Northwestern. Somehow, their Union College Adventist education didn't keep them from getting into even the elite schools. I have one friend who is now a CEO of a company in Silicon Valley, multimillionaire. She went to Union College, little Adventist school in the middle of nowhere that no one's ever heard of. Somehow, that didn't keep her from being successful in life. Now, is it true that public schools have some things that Adventist schools don't? Of course that's true. Of course that's true. They have a bigger curriculum. They have a lot more money. You have a lot more classes you can choose from at a public school. You have AP courses that you can take at a public high school that you can't take at FAA. That's true. There are a lot more extracurricular opportunities if you want to play sports or if you want to be in certain clubs and organizations. There's no question that there's more of that at public school. So it all comes down to the question of what is it that's most important to you and your kid? Is it the school that has the AP courses and the sports programs? If it is, then public school is the best place for them. Or is it a school that teaches Christian values? And again, for me, there's simply no question. I want the values. I want my boys to turn out. I want to maximize the odds of my boys turning out to have good character, good attitudes. There's kind of a follow-up reason why we send our boys to FAA, and that is roots. Roots. There's a very sad thing that's taking place in American life today. For lack of a better word, it's just called rootlessness. There's a lot of Americans who have no roots. They have no family roots because they've moved from one side of the country to the other. They have no community roots because they've moved to a community, but they haven't either had time or taken the initiative to make friends and get involved. And they have no religious roots. They're devoid of any religious affiliation. There's no sense of rootedness in their lives. They may be successful in a job or a career, but there's no roots. And one of the most essential things to our identity is a sense of rootedness, knowing who we are, where we came from, who we're attached to. It gives us security, and it enhances our identity. We want to know, where did I come from? Who am I attached to? Why do you think that adopted kids who are living in great homes get to a certain point in life, and many of them still want to know, who's my biological mother? Who's my biological father? Even though it'll have no impact on their future, they want to know, where did I come from? Who's my biological mother or father? This sense of rootedness is very important to us. And as I've grown older, now that I look back, I realize how fortunate I am to have grown up with a good sense of rootedness. I knew my family roots. My parents made a big point of making sure we spent time with grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins, and we knew who the family was. We even spent a lot of time with extended family. And I also clearly knew my religious roots. I knew I was a Christian, and I knew I was a Seventh-day Adventist. There was no question about that. And see, I want the same thing for my boys. I want them to have that sense of rootedness that I had, that sense of identity and security that comes with that, from knowing their family roots and from knowing their religious roots. And see, for me, there's just simply no question that FAA is the best place for them to get in touch with their religious roots. For them on a daily basis to hear about Moses and Abraham and Jesus and Paul and to know their religious lineage. And I want them to be around people on a weekly basis who go to church and who keep the Sabbath and who have some sense of similar beliefs and assumptions about God and about how the world works. I want them to have that rootedness. It's really important to me. Since tomorrow's Father's Day, I want to end with some kind of a reference to dads. Ephesians 6:4, it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. How exactly do you bring up a child in the training and instruction of the Lord? In my opinion, it takes three really strong, really good institutions, kind of the trinity of child rearing. There's a good home that's necessary, a good church, and a good school. And they all have to be good. And they all have to be strong. And you need all three, in my opinion. Now, there are some people who say, well, a good home is enough. That's all you need is a good home. No question that at the top of the list of those three, a good home is the most important. But let's be honest. Once your kids start to school, kindergarten, first grade, their teachers spend a lot more time with them than you, the parent, do. And I don't care how good you are as a parent, you're just not going to have as much time with your parents, as with your kids, as the teachers will. Furthermore, I want a multitude of voices speaking values and beliefs into my kids' head. See, if it's just me, if I'm the only one who's telling them, here's the way to go, it's like singing a solo. But I want a choir speaking to them. I want it to be me. I want it to be the teachers at school. I want it to be the people at church. I want as many voices as I can speaking to them. Because you know what? The day's going to come, and I hate to acknowledge this as a parent, but it's already happening, when they start to tune me out. Right? The kids start to tune out the parental voice. And if there's no one else singing off the same page as me, then if they tune me out, where else are they going to get it from? So I want a multitude of voices speaking into their heads. And if they tune out the church, okay, that maybe they'll hear it at the school. And if they tune out the school, okay, maybe they'll hear it somewhere else. I want as many voices as possible. And I want the school to be one of those voices. And so for this father, there's no question about where the best place is to send my boys to school. Because we live in Fresno, it's Fresno Adventist Academy. It's where they're going to be taught good values, and it's where they're going to get in touch with their religious roots. And that's why I send my boys there. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we begin to get a grasp of how much you love us when we know how much we love our own kids and want the best for them. And Lord, this parenting thing is so complicated. And we really do want to make good choices. So would you guide us in that? Would you lead us to make good choices for our kids in every area of their life, including what happens in the home, what happens at church, and what happens at school? Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.